This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick.
It happened more than once from more than one person.
Did you report it at all?
I did not.
Why?
I did report it even when I was a legislator, and the Speaker of the House asked me if I brought my knee pads to work when I asked if he could help me get my bill out of committee.
That's Missouri Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill there, speaking to the Washington Examiner on Tuesday, talking about being sexually harassed as an intern on Capitol Hill and also as a state legislator in Missouri, and then making the same choice so many women have faced at work to report sexual harassment or not.
Felt like I had to choose between my career and coming forward.
And that's a choice that so many Americans who aren't senators, especially women, know all too well.
I have been sexually harassed by my boss.
And I have never reported sexual harassment in my workplace.
She was too concerned for her job to file a complaint on her own.
No, I never did report it.
Chose not to report it so that I could continue my career.
I did not report. I could see that this would take a huge toll on my life and certainly on my career.
Those are your voices on the silence that can come after sexual harassment or sexual assault in the workplace. We'll have more on that in a moment, but we've been asking this question, and not just to Takeaway listeners. A new Takeaway Harris poll surveying more than 2,000 people finds that 62% of Americans now say they would feel more comfortable speaking out and challenging an abuser thanks to recent high-profile exposures of sexual harassment and abuse. Now, that sounds like good news, but of that group that I just mentioned, that 62%, only about 1 in 5 say a reason they'd feel more comfortable coming forward is that they believe their company would listen and be supportive. In other words, many, many people don't feel like their company, their employer, or their HR department has their back when it comes to harassment or assault.
My name is Judy in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and I have reported sexual harassment and assault at the workplace through the military. It was active duty military, and I reported my harassment of my superior to me to the sexual harassment, the EO officer, and she told me that, yes, I could report it, and yes, I could get him discharged from the military, but that it would cost me my career. I would never get promoted. I would be known as a rat or a whistleblower or whatever.
My name's Rose. I'm calling from New Jersey. A few weeks ago, right after the Harvey Weinstein allegations came out, I reported sexual harassment at my workplace. I was told that I had to put my statement in writing, but I was not informed of what they would do with that statement, although it was implied that the other party would be brought into a meeting with me to, quote, give his side of the story. Basically, they scared me so much that I ended up writing a written statement that redacted my original statement because I was scared of what would happen to me if I went forward with it.
Maya Rigou is here. She's Director of Workplace Equality and Senior Counsel at the National Women's Law Center. Maya, thanks for being here.
It's great to be here.
You heard all of those voices from our listeners, some of whom wanted to report their harassment, some of whom never considered it because of intimidation. Even a U.S. senator who said that in two different venues, she never reported harassment. All of these statements must sound awfully familiar to you.
Absolutely. You know, these experiences are all too common. At the National Women's Law Center, we hear from survivors from workplaces across the country. And about a month ago, we launched the first national legal network for gender equity to help people facing sex discrimination and harassment at work and in schools. And since the launch, which was around the time that the Weinstein allegations were reported, our intakes have doubled and our sexual harassment intakes have increased by 5 times. So, for too many years, countless women and many men have been suffering in silence. And it's because the risk of coming forward is too high. There's too little information out there about people's rights and what the process is like. And as your poll showed, there's no trust in the systems in workplaces, in schools, in the military that we're supposed to respond and to help them.
So Maya, let's start with some basics here then. When we talk about sexual harassment or assault in the workplace, what does that actually mean? I know we're talking about a broad range of behaviors, but what are some of the most common forms that can take place at work?
Right. So sexual harassment is unwelcome behavior that happens to you in the school, in the workplace, because of your sex. So it can mean something like unwelcome sexual advances. So your supervisor says to you, if you want to keep your job, you have to have sex with me. Or it can be a series of comments or conduct that creates an intimidating, hostile, or offensive work environment. So sexual comments by supervisors or coworkers about your body, about your sex life, obscene pictures. But sexual harassment doesn't just have to be sexual in nature, right? It can be based on your sex or your gender. So for example, women who work in male-dominated fields like construction face incredibly high rates of discrimination and hostility and intimidation, denigrating comments about women. And a lot of men face the same type of hostility, you know, having other men question their sexual orientation and call them degrading names.
Well, Maya, we want to focus on the issue of reporting harassment when it happens. And you heard the results of our Takeaway Harris poll there. I want to play for you some of the experiences of some of our listeners in this area. Listen.
Hi, my name is Julie Bailey. I'm calling from New York City. And I have never reported sexual harassment in my workplace. I was afraid of the backlash of not just being a woman, but a woman of color. So you just put your head down and try to deflect and ignore and keep it moving. It may be cowardly as a position, but it's survival.
Maya, that's Julie saying that fear of retaliation requires a survival instinct. Is that justified? Does retaliation happen a lot?
Yeah, and you know, retaliation is against the law, but unfortunately, it's very common in these situations, which is why so many people choose not to come forward. It is a huge risk and a huge gamble. People are putting their careers, not just their current jobs, on the line. And people who do come forward are often labeled liars and troublemakers, which are labels that can haunt them throughout their careers and essentially get them blackballed in their industry.
So in a big or a medium-sized company that does have an HR department, even if there's a stated policy, look, that's not going to convince some employees, many women, that it's okay to accuse somebody else in their workplace of sexual harassment. How do you recommend victims think this through and actually start the motions of reporting it?
Sure. So this is a really difficult issue. Everyone's experience is a little different, and it's a very personal decision as to whether to come forward and report or to stay silent. And everyone has to make the decision that's right for them. So here are a few questions for people to ask themselves to help them think through this process. First would be to figure out, what is it that you ultimately want? If you came forward and reported, what is the outcome you would like to see? Is it that you just want the harassment to stop, which is the case with most people? If you do decide to go forward with an HR complaint, then it's important to know, what is the company's policy and what is their procedure? Knowing that many times what's expected is actually not what ends up happening. Another thing is to first talk through the situation and your options with people you trust, family, friends, trusted coworkers, people in your network. And you know, sometimes when you talk to other coworkers, you might find that you're not the only one this has happened to. And there are other people who have been keeping silent as well out of fear. And it can be very empowering to know that you're not alone and you're not making this up. Another really important piece of advice is to document everything. Whenever there is a comment or conduct or you observe something, to write it down and keep really detailed notes. Keep any emails, text messages, social media posts, all of which will be really helpful evidence if you decide to come forward at some point.
Well, Maya, one of the things that we're learning, though, is that all of these decisions can get even more complicated for people who work in very small workplaces.
Hi, I'm calling anonymously. I have been sexually harassed by my boss, but I don't have an HR department to report it to because we are a very small company and I work hourly with no benefits and need my job. And the person who is harassing me is my HR.
So there's a case, Maya, of a woman who doesn't feel like she has any place to go. The harasser can't work somewhere else because this is a tiny company. He's going to be right there.
Right. And that's a really difficult situation and not an uncommon one. A lot of companies don't have the resources to have an HR department. And in many companies, there is only one person you can report to, which, if it's the harasser, is an incredibly difficult problem. Unfortunately, our federal laws only protect employees who work in workplaces with 15 or more employees. So in very small companies, those employees aren't even protected under our federal laws. However, under state and local laws, people who work in very small companies can be protected, like in New York City, which covers workplaces with 4 or more employees. So one potential avenue in that situation might be to go to the New York City Human Rights Commission or your local or state Fair Employment Commission and make a complaint about what's going on.
Maya, what about the borderline cases, the gray areas in the real world? You know, women often say it can be hard to decide if a particular encounter is harassment in their own minds. They don't like it. At the same time, they may not be sure if it rises to the level of harassment, much less in deciding if it's time to report it. How do you recommend to people thinking through those encounters?
Well, that's why it's so important to document and keep a record of these encounters or these comments, because they can build up and escalate over time. And that's also why it can be really helpful to talk to people, you know, that are in a trusted circle to get their feedback. And you'd be surprised at how many people have probably encountered the same types of behavior in their own workplaces or in their own lives. Now, the law does place victims of sexual harassment and discrimination in a little bit of a difficult position, because on the one hand, as you've pointed out, sometimes it's not entirely clear if something rises to the level of sexual harassment. So if you come forward too early, you're taking a huge risk that the employer will dismiss your complaint or not take you seriously, and you'll be tagged with this reputation. On the other hand, if you don't come forward quickly enough, then down the line, the employer and the courts might say, well, we had a procedure and a policy for reporting. You didn't tell us early enough, and we could have stopped this from becoming something worse. So I think it's really important to gather information, document what happens, and talk to people you trust in terms of making a judgment and a decision.
Maya Ragu, Senior Counsel at the National Women's Law Center. Maya, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick, and more from you now on how you've dealt with sexual harassment or sexual assault at work and whether to report it. Many of you have been reaching out at 8778-MY-TAKE.
I had gotten laid off because the bank moved my position out of the United States to a foreign country. And when there was a farewell party for me, at the end of the evening, this gentleman went to kiss me and stuck his tongue in my mouth. I was horrified and angry and didn't know what to do.
That's Roberta, who called us from Miami.
So what I ended up doing is writing a letter and going to Human Resources and basically said that I am doing this on behalf of all the other women who don't have a voice, all the other women who are afraid to say something because they would lose their jobs. I had already lost my job, so it didn't matter. Nothing was ever done. This man was never reprimanded. The contact that I had, who was the witness, was never contacted, and it was swept under the rug.
Give us your story and your voice. The line is always open here, 8778-MY-TAKE. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.